mitzvah resh tzadik tes 299. Mitzvahs korban musaf kol shivas yemei ha-pesach. So still in the mitzvahs dealing with the holiday of Pesach. So all 7 days one is required to offer a special korban musaf. An additional offering in addition to the tamid, the daily offering. So on the days of Pesach, so there's an additional offering, just like we have an additional tefillah, have an additional service, all 8 days of Pesach. It's the same as the musaf of Rosh Chodesh, shnei parim, two bulls, one ram, v'shiva kvasim, and 7 lambs. Hakol olos, they're all burnt completely on the altar. V'moshikasu v'feiru shal kulan b'seder pinchas, eishe ola, u'mishpat ha'ola, kvar pirashtu l'mala, how you would do this offering, I explained above. V'sir echad l'chatos, and one is a chatos offering, which is eaten, v'hi ne'echelas, fine. That's one he-goat. V'shor shi ha'mitzvah, kinyin ma'shikasavnu l'mala, it's like what we said above, the reasoning, binyin ha'korban, yadam nifal lefi ma'seyu, that people are inspired based on things that they do, rather than necessarily just thinking and pondering and meditating all day long. Ki miyoso bal chomer in ma'kshavto nidbekes ki mal yedei ha'maisa, that really the things that change your attitudes are actions and not thoughts, because a person is based in the material world. So you have to do something specific for the sake of the day. So on Pesach, you have to do something that is a korban that reflects the nature of the day, rather than treating it like any other day, so it makes a bigger impression on you. That if there's an extra offering, so it's going to be an extra inspiration for us to think and really internalize the message and the importance of the day. And the miracles that God did for us at that time, meaning during the time that we left Egypt. Dinei ha-mitzvah, the lachos are as follows. The fourth paragraph of Masechas Menachos. Hatmidat eina makvin es ha-musafin. That the daily offering and the musaf offering are not makiv each other. So, for example, if all you have is enough animals for one, and you just offered up the one, so you still were yotzei. You fulfilled your obligation of the one. You don't have to do both in order to be yotzei musaf. It's like nowadays, if you daven musaf and you don't daven shacharis, well, it's not like you're not yotzei davening musaf. You're supposed to daven shacharis and musaf, but it's not as if you haven't davened shacharis yet, so then your musaf is nothing. Below a musaf in makbin zeh and the different korbanos that are part of the musaf are not makiv each other. If you only have part of them, then you should offer up whatever you have, as opposed to saying, "Well, if I'm not going to do it, it's an all or nothing. If I don't have both, then I'm not gonna. Then I shouldn't do it." It's like the opposite of, for example, the Gemara Menachos also talks about. In this same discussion of what's ma'akev each other, so that's why the halachos of tzitzis and tefillin also are in Maseches Menachos. What do you mean Maseches Menachos? What does tefillin and mezuzah have to do and the tzitzis have to do with meal offerings? Mm. So the answer is, it's part of the discussion of ma'akev. It says, for example, that the four tzitzis are ma'akev each other. So if all you have is enough string for 3 tzitzis, so you don't say, well, that's all you have, so do the 3. No, if you don't have all 4, it's as if you have 0 tzitzis. V'chein ma sh'amru sham ha'parim va'ilim ha'kvasim eina ma'ak bin zezeh. So the different types of animals are not ma'ak of each other. You do what you have. You don't say like you do with tzitzis if you don't have it all, so it's as if you did nothing. Hapar v'ha'il v'akvasim eina ma'ak bin zezeh alechem k'lomer minchas ha'soleh sh'zehu ha'lechem v'lelechem ma'akim es ha'kvasim divrei v'akiva. So this is a little bit strange. That the Sefer HaChinuch just randomly seems to continue quoting this discussion in Menachos, but has nothing to do with the Korban Musaf of Pesach. All of a sudden he's talking about the Korbanos of Shavuos, that there's a Korban of Lechem, that there's the Shtei HaLechem, there's the bread offering, and there's the offering of the animals. So it says that they're not ma'akiv each other. That's Rebbe Ki. They are ma'akiv each other. I'm sorry, the Lo HaLechem ma'akiv, sorry, not ma'akiv each other. That's what Rebbe Kiva says. And Amar Shimonanis lo ki ela hakvasim ma'akim es alechem ba'alechem einu ma'akim es hakvasim. Rav Shimonanis disagrees. He says that if you don't have the lambs, then you shouldn't offer up the... I'm sorry. Right, if you don't have the lambs, you shouldn't offer up the bread. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the bread, you can still offer up the lambs. Mm-hmm. So it only works in one direction of what's ma'akev what. Shekein matzinu shekeshehayu Yisrael b'amidbar 40 shana karvu kevasim below lechem. So Reb Shimon Anas says, what's the reasoning? When the Jewish people were in the desert, they offered on Shavuos the lambs without the bread. So you see, you can offer that if you don't have the bread, so you can offer the lambs. Why didn't they offer up the bread in the desert? Because there's a halacha that the shtei alechem has to come from wheat that was grown in Eretz Yisrael. So they didn't have Eretz Yisrael yet.
Good morning.
Morning. So they didn't have the bread, but they did have the lambs. So they offered the lambs without the bread. Avkan yikrevu kevasim alechem. Now, if we had the Beis HaMikdash again, we had... for some reason we didn't have access to the bread, thank you, they didn't have access to the bread, then we could still offer up the lambs. Amar Reb Shimon, halacha kedivrei Bananas, aval eina tam kedvarav. Oh, I agree that the halacha follows that, you can offer up the lambs without the bread, but you can't offer up the bread without the lambs, but it's not for that reason. You can't bring a raya from what the Jewish people were doing in the desert. The general principle is just that. Whatever is mentioned in Sefer Bamidbar, they did in the desert. If something's just mentioned in Sefer Vayikra, it was not done in the desert. So when they came to Eretz Yisrael, so they did the korbanos that are mentioned both in Sefer Vayikra and in Sefer Bamidbar. Why do I say you can offer up the lambs without the bread? That the reasoning is as follows, not because of what they did in the desert. The reasoning is that the lambs permit themselves. When you have a korban that's eaten, you need to have a mater. There's always a mater. There's an action that permits the korban to be eaten. So the lambs can permit themselves because the lambs are permitted by the parts that are burnt on the altar and the blood being burnt on the altar. That permits the parts of the lamb that are eaten to be consumed. But there's no part of the bread that permits itself. In other words, what permits the bread to be eaten by the Kohanim, the bread offering, is the offering of the lambs. So in other words, it doesn't have an internal matter. So therefore, if you cannot offer the bread unless you have the lambs, but you can offer the lambs if you don't have the bread because it has its own internal matter. V'chein masham rusham perek chi, in the ninth perek of Maseches Menachos, it says, Marvin niske parim beniske elim, that the nisachim, the wine libations of different korbanos, you're generally not supposed to mix. You are allowed to mix the ones of the bulls with the ones of the rams, but you can't mix lambs wine accompanying wine libations with the wine libations of the bulls and the rams. This is some gezeira because the question is to whether the accompanying menachos, the meal offerings, are identical or not. If the accompanying meal offerings are identical, then even if you didn't only mix the wine libations, you mixed the meal offerings also, it wouldn't be a problem because they're identical and they'd be mixed together. But for sacrifices where the meal offerings are not identical, so you wouldn't be allowed to mix them together. So therefore, there's a rule that you're not allowed to mix the wine libations either because you don't want to get in the mindset of we're mixing things now. No, everything should stay separate. The Amr Shem Gamkein, Sheva Mido Shalach Hayu B'Mikdash. There were seven measuring cups for use in the sacrifices that were in the Beis HaMikdash. Hin, v'chatzi hin, and there was a hin and half a hin, and there was also a quarter of a hin, and a third of a hin, and a lug, and a half a lug, and a revias halug. A revias halug is what we call a revias. Rabbi Yisalog is fine. So there are all these measurements in the Beis Hamikdash. Reb Lozer, Reb Tzadok Omer. No, Shnosos Hayubahin. No. They didn't have different measuring cups. They just had a measuring cups like we have nowadays with lines on it. Mm-hmm. Up to here is one cup, one to here is two cups, three cups, four cups. So no, they just had a line showing how big it was. So they didn't need separate measuring cups. It was all together. Adkan lapar, adkan la'ayil, adkan la'keva. So it said, this is how much you use for a bull, this is how much you use for a ram, and this is how much you use for a lamb. Yeser protea, mivarim sham, uvimakomus mikodshim. So the details of this mitzvah are explained in other places, in these places in Maseches Menachos, as well as places in Maseches Zvachim, which he calls Kodshim. V'nogis b'zman habayis, this is applicable in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, v'zichrei kehuna, really for the male Kohanim, whose job is it to offer, it is to offer these sacrifices. They neglected this pasuk and they shall bear their iniquity. But the rest of the Jewish people, it wasn't their fault. Meaning that really it's the Kohanim are responsible to make sure the Kohanim are offered up properly. But ultimately, he says, even though the Kohanim bear the immediate responsibility, ultimately the job of the Hashgacha and the Beis HaMikdash falls on the entire Jewish people. So if it was within their power to make, you know, they saw that the Kohanim were not doing things properly and they didn't speak up and they didn't ensure that things were done properly, that it is possible for a regular Jew to bear some responsibility for violation of this requirement of the Korban Musaf. But again, the main immediate people who are responsible are indeed the Kohanim. Mitzvah Shin, 300. Only 313 to go. Mitzvah Shvisa B'Shvi Shel Pesach. The requirement to refrain from labor on the seventh day of Pesach. Lishbos b'yom ha-shvi'i shel chag ha-Pesach. To refrain from doing labor on the seventh day of Pesach. The positive commandment version. Shenemar b'yom ha-shvi'i mikra kodesh. On the seventh day is a holy day. Uflari kosavni l'mala samuch mitzvah zo shebechol makam shenemar b'tor mikra kodesh. Inyanu lomar kadishehu shelo lasos bo malacha. Sanctify this day so that you don't do malacha on it. It's a positive commandment. Again, why you have to be focused on your spirituality on this day rather than going to work because of the holiness and the miracles that were done on it. Which we already had, okay, but we talked about the laws of Yontif. But in this original version of Sefer Echinach, follow this mitzvah. The cholinian shvisas hashvi, kishvisas yom rishon. The halachos of the first day of Pesach are exactly the same as the seventh day of Pesach. Both yontif, exactly the same. Ushneim keregel echad heim chashuvim. Not only that, but by Pesach, the entire duration of the 7 days of Pesach are considered one holiday with two bookends. The first day of Pesach is the first bookend. The last day of Pesach is the ending. Linyan Shein Omrim Zman B'Shvi. That's why we do not make a Shechianu on during Kiddush or lighting candles, whenever you make the Shechianu, on the seventh day of Pesach, because you already made Shechianu the first day, or in our case, the first 2 days of Pesach. But since you make a Shechianu, the rule is once per holiday. Make a Shechianu on Rosh Hashanah, you make a Shechianu on Kippur, you make a Shechianu on Pesach. But Pesach, Rosh Hashanah is 1 day or 2 days, okay? And Yom Kippur is 1 day.
You make a Shekhiyana as it happens, as we learn from you, on both days.
Right, but that's because... because of the issue as to which is the right one.
Which is the
phrase. Right, but it's...
Yeah. So, you mean...
Fundamentally, it's once per holiday. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you make it... There's only 1 day Yom Kippur. You make... it's a separate holiday from Rosh Hashanah. So, you make
Shekhiyana.
That's not the case on Sukkot. Mm-hmm. On Sukkot, it's not one holiday with two bookends, one yontif at the beginning and one yontif day at the end. Mm-hmm. Sukkot is one yontif day followed by 6 days of Chol HaMoed.
Right.
On the rice level. 1 day of yontif and 6 days of Chol HaMoed, and then you have a new holiday immediately.
That's right.
Right, contiguous to Sukkot called Shmini Atzeres. Therefore, that's why you make a Shechianu on Shemini Atzeres, because it's not just the end bookend of Sukkot, it's a separate holiday.
But not on Simchas Torah.
No, because that's suffix Shemini Atzeres. It's like the 2 days. You make on the both days because of the suffix, right?
Oh, you do make on both days. Not because Simchas Torah.
So the last day of Pesach is the only one where you don't. I mean, where you might think that you would.
Correct. Yeah. But people get confused, actually. Especially... So we're going to explain later when we get to Shemini Atzeres, we're going to explain that Shemini Atzeres is a completely separate holiday, as opposed to the last day of Pesach, which is one unit with the first days of Pesach. Mitzvah Shin Aleph, Shilolas Oz Melacha B'yom Shvi Shal Pesach. Again, there's a positive commandment and a negative commandment associated with refraining from labor on the seventh day of Pesach. Shlo nasa malacha b'yom shvi shal Pesach shu yom echad ve'esrim b'nisan. It's the 21st day of Nisan. Shenemar b'yom hashvi mikra kodesh kamaleches avoda lo sasu. You don't do any malacha. That's forbidden on Yantif, which we explained the dinim already earlier. So we explained the dinim already. So why is there such a long discussion here about the seventh day of Pesach? As we use the opportunity to explain the institution of 2 days of Yantif, which we'll get to in a minute. It's all explained when we're talking about the laws of the first day of Pesach and the differences between Yantif and Shabbos. That's the halachas, not the hashgachas. I already talked about all the laws of Yantif, so I could have talked about the institution of 2 days of Yantif when I was talking about the first day of Pesach, but I wanted to break it up a little. So when I was teaching you about the first day of Pesach, I told you about the laws of Yantif per se. And now I'm going to teach you about the institution, why we in Chutz Laretz, say for Chinuch lived in Spain and we live in America, Lech is the same in both places. Lama nohagnu laso shnei yomim tovim b'chol moed u'moed. Why every single holiday has 2 days associated with it. B'soraseinu lochi avasnu kim b'yom tovechad. If you look in the Torah, how many days of Yantif does it talk about? One day of Yantif. Kol Shabbat b'kosu meforish b'Pesach b'yom rishon mikra kodesh b'yom shvi. And the Torah just says that on Pesach, it's Yantif on the first day and it's Yantif on the seventh day. What do you mean 2 days? How do we do 2 days if it does not mention in the Torah? V'chein ba'atzeres, the same thing with Shavuos, v'Rosh Hashanah v'Sukkos. And then all the holidays in the Torah are just 1 day. V'ha'emes, ki ha'inyen hu achshav minhag levad. The fundamental nature of the 2 days of Yantif is a minag. It's not like a minag like some communities do it, some communities don't do it. It means that it was a practice adopted by Klal Yisrael that was given official rabbinic sanction and encouragement and requirement. Right, also they weren't doing it in the times of the Nevi'im. They weren't doing it in the times of the Nevi'im because they had a clearer system about how to communicate the day of the Rosh Chodesh.
Bonfires and so forth.
Right, so originally they used to, when the Beis Din sanctified the new month, they used to have a system of bonfires from mountaintop to mountaintop, and the word would reach, you know, within a very short period of time, all the Jewish communities in...
To bubble and whatever, it seems
Mm-hmm. You can see a big bonfire.
You could have messengers and, you know... with the bonfire, it didn't reach, something like that. So you could,
whatever, the system was...
And you have 15, a dozen days to do it in, so.
Right. So they had this system, and then, as is well known, so the people who did not go with Chazal's calculation of the calendar and wanted to undermine Chazal's authority... decided to mess with the system, so they used to light bonfires in extra places, and the people couldn't distinguish between which bonfires were the real ones and which ones were not the real ones. So therefore, they used to send messengers, who would have a little, a letter, like Lahavdil we have nowadays, people collecting stucca in certain communities. So they have an official letter from the community with their picture saying, I'm a legitimate collector of stucca. The people would go and they would say, I'm a legitimate messenger of the Beis Din. And I'm telling you that Rosh Chodesh is either on the first day it could be or the second day it could be. So that's what they used to do. So the reason is that the messengers did not always get to the communities to which they were dispatched on time. Fine. Ritzoni lomar she'ein anachnu osein oso hayom mipnei ha'safek. In the time when the messengers actually went out, So if they didn't make it in time, they said, okay, it was either Rosh Chodesh, it was either Rosh Hashanah on Thursday or Friday. We're not sure which day it could be, because based on the calculation from when last Rosh Chodesh was, there are only two possibilities. So we're not sure really. So Rosh Hashanah they kept 2 days, even in Eretz Yisrael a lot of times, which we'll discuss. So we're not sure when Sukkah should be, because Sukkah either could be 2 weeks after the first possible day that Rosh Hashanah could be, or the second day. We're not sure. So we have to keep 2 days of Sukkot to make sure that we don't violate the Yontif. And Chazal even said that in such a situation, one should make the brachos. Even though you might think, well, if you're not sure which day is the correct day of Yontif, so, you know, treat each day as if it's a real doubt. In other words, you don't do malacha, but you put on tefillin, and you sit in the sukkah without a bracha, but you're not allowed to eat outside the sukkah, so treat it stringently in both directions. So the Chachamim realized that if people did that, it was too shticky, and people would start to think, well, I'm not making a bracha, you know, I'm davening, I'm putting on tefillin, you know, maybe I'm davening weekday davening, I'm not sure which day is which. So, you know, this probably isn't so real, so they just stopped doing it entirely. So that's why, even though in a normal situation, when you have a doubt as to whether you're supposed to make a bracha, you do not make the bracha. But in this situation, Chazal specifically legislated that we should make all the brachos in order that we should not take lightly either of the 2 days of Yontif. Ki kol Yisrael b'kiyan achshav b'kibua chadashim v'yodim yom ha-moed mechuvan al pi ha-cheshben ha-mekubal b'yodam. So nowadays, we don't sanctify the new months actually based on sighting of the new moon, but rather we have a fixed calendar that was promulgated in Klal Yisrael. And because the problem is that in order to sanctify the month, you need to have smicha. You need to have the official rabbinic ordination, which ceased to exist about 1500 years ago. So at that time, the sages in that generation basically, according to one approach, pre-sanctified all the new months for all eternity. And based on this fixed calendar that we use nowadays. So therefore, we rely on which is obviously an extraordinary step, because really you're supposed to do it on a month-by-month basis. But they saw that the smicha was winding down, so they had no choice. But we'd be left with no holidays. If you, according to this approach, if you don't have someone with smicha sanctifying the new months, so there's nothing. There's no Rosh Chodesh, there's no holidays, there's no nothing. There's just Shabbos. Every 7 days you still have Shabbos, obviously. But the whole Jewish calendar would cease to exist. There wouldn't be a Jewish life as we know it. So, therefore, he pre-sanctified all the new months until the time as the Sanhedrin and the Smicha would return. According to the other approach, which is that of that was the Ramban, the way I just presented it. The Rambam says that that's not true. It says that there's the received tradition, the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, of how you sanctify new months is that when there is a Sanhedrin and people with smicha to do it, to conduct it, then you rely on that. But if there's no Sanhedrin or rabbis with real smicha, then the minhag of the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael is a de facto Kiddush HaChodesh. So from the fact that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael celebrated Thursday as Rosh Hashanah, they celebrate Friday too, but the main day of Aleph Tishrei is the first day, and that's when they're going to celebrate Sukkot two weeks after that. So the Jews in Eretz Yisrael decided that they're going to follow this calculation, this calendar, this fixed calendar that was promulgated, probably developed over a course of time, but came into its fixed form about 1500 years ago. And since they choose to follow this calendar, so we who live in Chutz Laaretz must follow this calendar as well, because each month when they celebrate Rosh Chodesh, that's de facto Kiddush HaChodesh. They, in a sense, when they you know, they give a clap and say we're davening Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Now that is the Kiddush HaChodesh, yeah?
Well, there was some, obviously was some overlap between the calendar being established and the end of the Smicha and the, in the, you know, and the, you know, so what would happen if, obviously, you know, you go according to what the Beis Din would say,
yeah,
at that time, you know,
right?
But what would happen if some Adim came in and they say, we saw the new moon and you knew darn well according to the calendar it couldn't have happened, would that, you know, would that be grounds for, you know?
Yeah. They used to reject witnesses if they knew that it couldn't have been seen. That's Rabbi Gamliel was an amateur astronomer. They had these models of the moon and used to grill the witnesses because he used to try to if he knew then they couldn't have seen it. So anyway, but it goes based on what the Beis Din says. It doesn't go based on reality. That's the nature of Kiddush HaChodesh. If they make a mistake or they sanctify it on a different day, so that's what you do. Also nowadays, our calendar doesn't exactly follow the moon. Sometimes it's a day or two after the new moon. Just how it works nowadays, unfortunately. We should go back to being Mekadosh L'Piriyah soon, Ratz Hashem, but it's not...
But the Rambam's interpretation actually maybe isn't quite as resilient as the Ramban's in that he depends on there being a community in Israel, suppose.
He says that God promised that even if the Jewish community is decimated, there always be at least, you know, three farmers, Jewish farmers, living in Eretz Israel. So there never will be a complete... There was, historically, yeah. There never was a time where there were zero Jews living in Eretz Israel. It says that's the promise of the Torah, that there will never be such a situation in the future. The problem, right, but according to the Rambam, if somehow, you know, I mean, we assume it can't happen, but if it were to happen, no more holidays, no more Rosh Chodesh, nothing, gone.
Well, you still make it on the Rambam.
Very strange.
Although, how can you pre-sanctify? I mean, probably, it's based upon Re'iyah, how can you go ahead and say in advance...
Because it's a shas adchak. It's an emergency. Right. He had no other choice. The alternative would be a stoppage of all Jewish life. It would be no good. But there's a big right. Just Shabbos. That's true. You still have that. But there'd be a big. There's also a big nafkamina difference in practice between the Rambam and the Ramban. I don't know if you remember Rabbi Rapp. The first Friday night dinner I came in my tenure at the shul, the speaker was Rabbi Rapp, who spoke about the confluence of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah a couple of years ago, that the earliest that Hanukkah could fall now. And he says that the problem with the current fixed calendar is that it's slowly creeping later. So he says in like 500 years, Pesach might not be in the spring anymore. It's going to be too...
Why is it creeping?
That's just the in terms of how the sync works out between the lunar and the solar calendar.
Spring for ages.
Yeah.
Says it has to be spring.
And he said like something in like thousands of years if you continue with this fixed calendar, so Pesach will wind its way, you know, around the calendar and you know, and come back to the spring.
But I thought the fix with Adar was to prevent.
Yeah,
that prevents on a small basis, but he says there are slight mistakes with the way our fixed calendar is set up, so that it needs to be, that this would happen. Again, we daven that we'll be Mekadosh L'Piriyah soon and we'll get rid of the fixed calendar. But the big nafgamina is, according between the Rambam and the Ramban, that according to the Ramban, that this was a pre-Kiddush HaChodesh by someone with smicha, because you need someone with smicha. So, you have no choice. Celebrate Pesach in the summer. You know, we have to follow this fixed calendar forever until Mashiach comes to establish Sanhedrin. But according to the Rambam, this exact fixed calendar is not the be-all and end-all. If there would be a conference of all the rabbis in Eretz Israel and they say, look, this is an emergency. Pesach is creeping too late. It's not being celebrated in the spring anymore. We have to make some modifications to the fixed calendar. And the Jews living in Eretz Israel said, yeah, absolutely, we agree. And they start using a slightly different fixed calendar, and they celebrate on that day. So according to the Rambam, that would be an option. But I guess, Chas v'Shalom, we're not being Mekadosh L'Piriyah by the time Pesach starts getting too late. There have to be a conference of the rabbis to decide whether we should what we should do in terms of changing the fixed calendar. Be a big problem. Okay, but this is Lemaisa. Everybody agrees that for the time being, at least, this is the calendar that we have to follow. So we know which calendar. So now that we have this fixed calendar, so we know how to calculate Rosh Chodesh. Again, technically, Rosh Chodesh isn't Chal according to the Rambam, unless you know that the Jews in Eretz Yisrael celebrated it that day. But we assume that they told us that unless we hear otherwise, they're celebrating according to this calendar. But we know which day to celebrate, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot and Pesach, so why do we keep 2 days? Moshe Gosafti, Lamala, the Seder, Bo Alparo, Asay Aleph, and Nigba, Minag, Levish, Mipnesha, Mitchila, Kesher, Anoshim, Smuchim, Barazu, Kovimach, Rosh Hapiria. Originally, they used to keep 2 days of the holidays because that they used to sanctify each new month based on sighting of the moon. Kemitzus HaTorah, Kemoshe Gosafti, Shan, that's how it really works according to the Torah. Alkein, kol mekomos Yisrael rechokim min hamakom hanivchar kshekibu Hashem shlo yochel mishluchim lagia shan lodiyam yom hakavua, that the messengers couldn't get there in time to tell them the correct day in order to celebrate Sukkot and Pesach. Hayalem sofek beiz yom kavu achodesh im biyom shloshim o b'shloshim echad, I don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh, whether it was 30 or 31 days since the previous Rosh Chodesh. Ve'osin hamoed shnei yomim mipnei sofek zen. They used to keep the holidays 2 days because of this problem. It's also interesting, when Morris was still coming, and when he went to the Shiurim, when we were learning Parshas Bo, so he lent me a book about, an academic book about the history of the Jewish calendar, which was very interesting. So it said that the 2 days Yontif, just a tidbit of knowledge which I found fascinating, that the 2 days Yontif was only ever shayach to Jews who followed the traditional rabbinic halacha. Why? Because in other sects we have no mention of 2 days Yontif in Chutz Laretz. Because why? It was in our traditional understanding of the Torah based on the Chachamim. The Chachamim fix the day of Rosh Chodesh, and it's their word that creates the halos that this is the day of Rosh Chodesh. And 2 weeks later will be Pesach, or 2 weeks later will be Sukkot, whatever it is, depending on the month. And this is the correct day. And if you don't, in other words, you have to keep 2 days Yontif in order to make sure that you celebrated it on the correct day. If you ended Pesach really a day early and you started your chametz, you sinned because you ate chametz on a day that metaphysically is created by the Beis Din that this is the correct day of Pesach. But he said in other sects they didn't view it as a problem that there were different calendars. In other words, in a certain Jewish sects that were living in let's say Egypt, for example, there's some evidence that they just in their community in Egypt, wherever they were, they look up, they said, oh, there's the new moon, okay, today's Rosh Chodesh, and 2 weeks later we're going to celebrate Pesach. And you know, that was in Egypt, but in Yemen, they might have been cloudy, and they only saw the new moon on the next day. So, okay, you celebrate Pesach 1 day earlier, we celebrate 1 day later, big deal.
So this is the medieval period we're talking about.
No, no, this is like before the turn of
BC.
Karaites also had a different calendar, but I'm talking about even before the Karaites existed per se, there were other Jewish sects that didn't accept this whole idea that there was one correct day of Rosh Chodesh and one correct day of Pesach. That okay, you do it. You saw your moon a different day. I saw it a different day. Big deal. So we celebrate.
The Essenes, they were of course one of the sects that had different calendars,
right?
And it was certainly different. That in fact, some New Testament scholars, the Habil, have speculated that that accounts for how the Last Supper could have been for Essenes, a Pesach Seder, it could be based in, could be in session in order to have the trial.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay.
According to the regular Jews, that wasn't, it was all, what it was called. It was not,
Yeah, interesting. Okay. I hear. Anyway, but this, the 2 days of Yontif is based on the idea in traditional halacha that there is one day of Rosh of correct day of Pesach that's created by the Beis Din. Okay. V'ulam lo yalem safek le'olam b'yoser miyom echad levishalom ayukovim Rosh Chodesh b'yom shloshim o b'shloshim echad. Well, maybe, how do they, there wasn't such a range of days that Rosh Chodesh could be. It's either 30 or 31 days. It's the previous Rosh Chodesh. That's why you don't have to keep 5 days of Yontif. There is not a 5 day range that it could be. It's only a 2 day range. Bein be'edim o shelo be'edim. So witnesses didn't come on day 30, so day 31 was automatically Rosh Chodesh. Ki yadua hadavar avaru she'en chidesh alavanam is acher yoser, that the new moon doesn't appear more than 31 days after the previous new moon. V'akein bein yavo edim el v'lo yavo yavkov in Rosh Chodesh b'yom shal shem echad. Whether they came or not, they used to say Rosh Chodesh was on day 31. U'mipnei ha'safeg hazeh she'yesh l'rechokim Yerushalayim, kavu lahem b'tchila la'asot shnei yomim Yontif. So it's people who are far away from Yerushalayim and they couldn't get the word on time, so they used to keep 2 days of Yontif. They said, well, there's a famous story in the Gemara that they wrote to the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael, and they said, well, now that you sent us a fixed calendar, so do we still have to keep 2 days of Yontif? So the Chachamim responded, yes. Even though you know what the correct day is, Hizaru minag avuseichem shabidechem, that you should keep this minag, even though you know which is the correct day. Kedasha you osin bizmanahu, afabisha kol Yisrael, ayom bekiin bekibu achodesh, kemo sheamarnu. So the idea is that maybe they will lose track of the fixed calendar, or I think happened in Russia, I believe, in certain times that they lost track of the Jewish calendar, and the 2 days of Yontif saved them, knowing that they had to keep 2 days of Yontif. So they knew that certain things would happen in the future. And in case there was an issue with the observance of the calendar, they said, no, the people in Chutz Laretz have to keep, to continue keeping 2 days of Yontif, even though you shouldn't really need to if you have this fixed calendar and you can calculate in advance which is going to be the correct day of Yontif. Aval HaKrovim. There's also, according to Kabbalah, in order to give more weight to the idea that you need 2 days Yontif, so it says, according to Kabbalah, the mystical reason that the Chachamim said that we should still keep 2 days Yontif in Chutz Laretz is that since Eretz Yisrael is so much holier, what they can accomplish spiritually in 1 day of Yontif, we need 2 days of Yontif to accomplish. Okay, fine. But whatever it is, we have to still do it. And if you, and again, people complain about 2 days Yontif in Chutz Laretz, there's a very easy solution. That nowadays it's easy to cease keeping 2 days of Yontif. Aval Krovim v'chol shekin hadarim ba'aretz mamish. Those who are close to Eretz Yisrael, and certainly those who live in Eretz Yisrael proper, ein roi shiyasu ki'im yom echad k'minag an shiyamoko me'olam v'cheinogu l'fimah sheshamanu. So the people who never had the minag to keep 2 days Yontif don't have to keep 2 days Yontif. So it's interesting that he says it doesn't go just based on Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz. It goes based on where did the Shluchim get to on time. Mm-hmm. So he says the Shluchim could have gotten to Amman, Jordan, easily on time. So the Jews living in Amman, even though it's not Eretz Yisrael, there are no Jews live what?
A lot, I assume they keep one day.
A lot is another shalot, I'll get to it in a second. So since the Jews living in Amman would have gotten word, so they also need not keep 2 days Yontif. They can still keep 1 day Yontif because the minag there was never to keep 2 days. The idea was that Chachamim froze the minag in each place. Okay, but it wasn't that. It wasn't a strict delineation between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. So this idea that it goes by just the radius. That's the Sefer Chinuch Shita. That's one sheet on the Rishonim. The Minag follows a different sheet than Rishonim. I believe it's quoted by the Ritva, a certain other Rishonim as well. That no, we make it simple nowadays that it's just not based on the actual Suffolk, but rather it's just based on the Minag Avosenu Shibiyadenu. We go Chutz Laretz, Eretz Yisrael. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you keep 1 day. If you live outside Eretz Yisrael, you keep 2 days. We make it very simple for you. And the one very interesting shita, which is that of the Rambam, is that it doesn't go by radius, it doesn't go by Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz, it goes by each city. Where it says, he says, if the minag in this place was always to keep 1 day, you continue keeping 1 day nowadays.
Always when?
Since the times of the Shluchim. Was to keep 1 day, you continue keeping 1 day. If that was never the minag, either in a new city or in a city where the minag was to keep 2 days, you must continue keeping 2 days. What does this Rambam mean?
So wait, so if a new city is founded in Eretz Yisrael, then you
according
have to
the Rambam, it. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Mm-hmm. According to the Rambam, in... I don't know, Efrat, whatever. What?
Lodis would be such a case.
No,
Eilat is worse because also not in Eretz Yisrael. That's why they say both according to the Rambam and according to the Ritva. Oh, so the question is, how far do you go with this? So according to the Rambam, for sure, but according to the Rambam also, let's say a Jewish community, again, let's say there was a Jewish community in Amman going back to the times of Bayesheni, and it was a continuous community, and they always kept one day. Jews in Amman are allowed to continue keeping one day, even if it's outside Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so the question is, how far do you go with this? As is well known, the Brisker Rav used to keep Lechumra 2 days of Yontif in where he lived in Geula. So he used to keep Lechumra 2 days of Yontif. He didn't daven, you know, Yontif daven for 2 days, because that's certainly not the minhag. But he did not do malacha or eat chametz on Pesach on the second day of Yontif because of the shita of the Ram, that he was nervous that you only go based on the boundaries of the actual city. And if it's houses that were built outside the city, so therefore that's a new place, and you have to keep 2 days of Yontif. So the simple understanding is that's not true even according to Rambam, that if it's literally an extension, a contiguous extension, and identified with the ancient city where they used to keep 2 days of Yontif. So, I mean, how far do you go? We're like, do ad absurdum. Like, well, my house is built on a place where there was a house in the city in the old times where in this exact spot people kept 1 day Yontif, so I get to keep 1 day Yontif. But you built a house where there was a yard, so people didn't keep Yontif. And how far do you go with this? The simple understanding, even according to Rambam, it's contiguous. That's why some people say that in Tel Aviv, since it's close to Yafo, and in Yafo you keep 1 day Yontif, so therefore Tel Aviv is not a problem either, but Tel Aviv might be too far. They're different. Again, it doesn't really matter. Like the minhag is that in all Eretz Yisrael we keep, they keep 1 day Yontif, but there are certain people who are choshesh lechumra that they don't do malacha at least on the second day in Yontif in certain places in Eretz Yisrael, because if you live in the old city, so fine, so for sure you're allowed to keep for sure just 1 day, but if you live, there are people who are choshesh for the other shita that you're allowed, that you should not do malacha even on Yontif, even on Yontif Sheni in Eretz Yisrael. But Mamish, a new city, like people say, an example like Male Adumim, city like that, Mamish, a new city, there's no settlement there before. Also, how far do you go? Because if it's on the ruins of an ancient city, but there's no community, you know, contiguous settlement. Continuous settlement. So does that count or not? So those are very very interesting questions. But like I said, the minhag is that in all Eretz Yisrael you keep just 1 day Yontif,
okay. Including a lot for that.
Okay. I believe that there are more normative poskim that encourage a chumra and a lot vis-a-vis second day Yontif than encourage it in at least places that are really part of Eretz Yisrael. But I believe that the general minhag there, among whatever from Jews are living there, is to keep just 1 day Yontif. So why that should be the case is questionable.
So from Jews, unless by from Jews, we're a lot then, right?
Yeah, sure. So don't go for Yontif. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you feel like you could use 8 days
again. Okay. Meanwhile... the one holiday where I really want 1 day of Yontif is yet 2 days even in Eretz Yisrael, so it doesn't help you that much. Rosh Hashanah. Fine. Umin atam azeh shamarnu. Two starim I like. You get, you know, you don't have to say all your divrei Torah on one night. You can you can save some for the second night. Yeah, okay.
And Shmiat Seres Simchas Torah is very handy because you can spread all stuff, you know. It's not like one huge, marathon.
That's also true. That's also true. Min atam azeh shamarnu she'adavar hitakonas chachamim lo sofik. Lo sofik, I'm sorry. So it's a takonas chachamim and not a doubt. Amru min ha-mefarshim shelo nomar achsha b'shnei yomim tovim shel golios. Nolda b'zeh muteres b'zeh. K'mo she'baba gemara de'vizman azeh. So we said before that if an egg was laid on the first day of Yontif, you're allowed to eat on the second day of Yontif, because the first day is Yontif, the second day is a weekday, but you look at it the opposite way. Either it's the first day or second day of Yontif, the other day is really a weekday, so you'd be allowed to eat the egg. According to some shitas, all 2 days yantiv nowadays are like Rosh Hashanah. They're one long unit because they stem from a takanas chachamim. The sages have said that you have to keep 2 days, and we don't really have a doubt which day is which, so this doesn't make sense. So and other poskim say, what do you mean? No. The Takanas Chachamim is based on the practice that they used to do in the olden days when they really had a suffix. So we shouldn't be more machmir now than they were then. When it says in the Gemara that the leg was laid on the first day, it's laid on the second day, that discussion took place after with a 2 days Yontif as we know it now, that it was already a Takanas Chachamim, an enactment. So then you see that even in those times they allowed it, so we should allow it nowadays. That's the minag nowadays. The normative psak is that we allow an egg that was laid on the first day to be eaten on the second day. It's also what I was talking about on between Minchat Maariv on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. It also has a nafkamina for Erev Tavshil, and whether you're allowed to make the Erev Tavshil on the first day of Yom Tov. Fine. The Chumash Sha'amarnu Davga Bishneim Tov Mishal Banadi Hashanah Chutz Mirosh Hashanah. This applies on the 2 days of all the holidays, Chutz Mirosh Hashanah, Betzayis Rosh Hashanah, Dil Rosh Hashanah, Kuvachol Mokom Kiddush Achas Hi, that it's like one long unit of holiness, Benolda Bezev, Surah Bezev, is born on the first day, it's forbidden on the second day, Vishay Gamba Beis Havad, sometimes even in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Sanhedrin, Hayoz Nos Lefamim Shnei Yamim Yantif, Shalom Yitar HaSafek, they used to do it, not because there was a doubt, but because they wanted to keep the first day as holy, but the second day was the real day. So therefore, they had it wasn't even from the original takana. A lot of times, it wasn't based on a suffix at all. Therefore, it's like one long day, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if it was laid on the first day, you're not allowed to eat on the second day. If witnesses came on the first day of what could have been the first possible day that Rosh Hashanah could have been declared, too late in the day. That they declared that the real day of Rosh Hashanah was going to be the second day, but they were going to continue observing Rosh Hashanah the first day so that people shouldn't get confused in future years. So nowadays, you could have said, well, nowadays, since we have the fixed calendar, so maybe we should keep just one day Rosh Hashanah nowadays, but it applies the same way as the other holidays, and even in Eretz Yisrael, because of this fact that even in Eretz Yisrael, even in the Sanhedrin itself, a lot of times they used to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah. There is a fascinating shita of the some Rishonim, the Baal Hamor and other Rishonim, that in Eretz Yisrael nowadays you only keep 1 day Rosh Hashanah, but the normative poskim, the Rif and the Rambam, hold on, no, you have to keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah even in Eretz Yisrael, and that is the minag nowadays, although there is some evidence, interestingly enough, that the minag in the times of the Geonim, like in around the year 800, there was a practice among the Jews in Eretz Yisrael to keep only 1 day Rosh Hashanah, because of the fact that the Paitanim, the liturgical poets who lived in that time, composed poetry only for 1 day of Rosh Hashanah, but nowadays we keep 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, even in Eretz Yisrael. So next time, I would like to...
Is next week or not?
I think we could. Yeah. People will be here?
Yeah.
So I would like to address a little bit also before we get on to the next mitzvah. I'll assume I'll remember, but remind me if I don't. I would like to discuss a little bit more about the 2 days of Yantif and address your question more about what happens if you're visiting Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laaretz and keeping 2 days of Yantif. You can also maybe discuss, since it'll be Motzei Yom Kippur, you can it'll be Yantif Sheni Shel Yom Kippur, so it'll still be very very appropriate.